The following program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell. Sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome to The Money Hour at 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, October 4th show. I am your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. Thank you for taking time to talk money. I've built a network of elite industry professionals every week sharing their knowledge and expertise to my listeners. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but I'm here to answer any questions that you have or connect you with any of the guests that I have in studio on the show today. Please call in to the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And if you miss any of the segments or guests that I have in studio today, you can always go back to themoneyhour.com and listen to any of the podcasts. I stream all of my shows right online for the convenience of all of you. And my lineup for studio today, Mark Pellegrino with Rainier Group, Investment Advisory Landscape. What's happening in the market? What's going on with your money? How do you protect it? How do you earn more? All the conversation or all the questions that you will want answered is why I have Mark in studio today. Also in studio, I have Russ Hokanson, CEO of Seattle King County Association of Realtors. What is SCAR and everything that they do to help you as a homeowner or you as a consumer in the market, as well as help our Realtors and what's happening in their arena. So very excited to have a conversation with Russ today. And back again in studio, I've had Judy with me many times, Judy Claiborne, state representative. Excited to have Judy back to talk about what's happening in transportation and give us all an update. Great information and great guests in studio today. For more information on any topics discussed, please call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And let's go ahead and start out the show, as always, with a little money chat.
Money. Money.
I thought I'd break down for all of the listeners out there today, if you're thinking about being a homeowner, as a reminder, if this is the first time you've heard my show, my full-time job in my career is as a mortgage consultant. I just like to hang out here with all of you on the weekends to talk everything money. But there are a lot of people still that feel that you need a large down payment to get into a home. And I wanted to kind of go through the options that are available, because you don't. And it's been quite a while that you've needed a down payment for a home. There are a lot of grant programs available out there. So if you're listening today and you're thinking of getting into a home, but you just haven't saved enough for a down payment, take advantage of the interest rates right now. If you're a veteran, VA mortgage is guaranteed by U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, is designated in allowing financing specifically for homeowners that are eligible as an American veteran, or if you're a surviving spouse that has not been remarried, you might be eligible for VA financing as well. That is an opportunity to get in zero down. Also, we have USDA, United States Department of Agriculture loan is to assist with borrowers' income not exceeding 115% of the median income in your particular area. Now, there is another restriction to use USDA financing. You do have to be purchasing a property that is located within the rural areas defined through USDA. But if you're not a veteran, if you're not eligible for USDA financing, you might be eligible for a grant program. Now, I'm certified through the Washington State Housing Finance Commission. A lot of mortgage consultants in our local market are. They're a good source for down payment assistance, but there's other grants that are becoming available on the market as well. There are grants available that you do not have to pay back. Yes, that's true. You're going to get a down payment. They're going to give you the down payment to get into the home, and you do not have to pay it back. There's no interest, so you're not making any mortgage payment. And again, you're not paying it back. So most likely you're going to be utilizing 3.5% to 5% down payment for these grant programs, because that's what your minimum down payments are with other options, which I'll get to in just a second. But if you've got a $10,000 grant, when you sell your home, you're not paying it back and you're not making a payment on that. So it's a really, really great program. Now, on almost all of these grants, there are income restrictions. So if you make too much money, you're not going to be able to qualify for the program. But I will say one of the grants that is local in any area here in Washington State, any city, any county in Washington State, there's one income restriction for this particular program. So I thought I would mention it because it's easy. It's $97,000 a year. So if you're listening right now and you make less than $97,000 a year, you can qualify for this grant that you don't have to pay back. There's no interest, which means there's no mortgage payment. Now, if for any reason that you have more than one person in your household, maybe you have a spouse or a significant other, if you can, and that additional income takes you over the maximum income restriction, if you leave your spouse or a significant other off the loan, their income would not be included in the income restriction for this one particular program that I'm talking about. There's a lot of different guidelines and programs out there, but I'm trying to give you one that's going to accommodate to a lot of you that might be listening to my show today. So in order to do that strategy, just so you know, the one that's on the loan has to be able to qualify with their income only. You can't utilize the spouse or other income that is there if they're not going to be on the loan. The only reason you would do that strategy again is so that you could stay within that $97,000 maximum income restriction, again, available for anybody that lives in Washington State. And by the way, you don't have to be a first-time home buyer for this program as well. So you can be somebody that's purchased a home again, maybe just doesn't have the money for a down payment. It's a good option to look at. Now, getting into your standard programs outside of just the zero down loans, most of you have heard of conventional financing, which is a type of mortgage. Underlying terms and conditions need to meet the criteria for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which sets up the guidelines in the secondary market. On conventional financing, there used to be a 3% down payment. That's been gone for quite a while, but the minimum down payment is 5%. And again, I'm just surprised that a lot of people feel that they need a 20% down payment to get into a home. Now, when asking further questions to my clients that ask if they need a 20% down payment, I'm thinking maybe you might be thinking that because of private mortgage insurance. Well, you can do less than 20% down payment and not have to pay private mortgage insurance, or at least on a monthly basis. A lot of different options. I've talked about this before. If you have questions in regards to your mortgage insurance options, please pick up the phone. Give my show a call, 1-855-411-50. Again, that's 1-855-411-50. But there's monthly, lender pay, and a complete buyout to get rid of it in all cases. And again, that's with as low as 5% down payment. FHA financing is another loan type out there. That's a 3.5% down payment, and that's a Federal Housing Administrative mortgage insurance backed by mortgage loan, which provided to help consumers come in with a lower down payment. And also, maybe if you've got some credit challenges, FHA financing is going to be a really good alternative for you, because minimum credit score requirement is 560 unless you're working with a lender. And I'm sorry, it's 580 unless you're working with a lender that have overlays. And overlays is basically guidelines that are over and above what's required, standard requirement through FHA financing. So some really, really great options to get in zero down, or even at the lowest, if you can't qualify for some zero down financing, 3.5% down, which is your FHA. Now, on an FHA loan, you can go all the way up to a $506,000 loan amount with a 3.5% down payment. So financing is not challenging when it comes to your cash. You can buy a $500,000 home and come in with a 3.5% down payment. Obviously, you've got to have the income to qualify and feel comfortable making that mortgage payment. But point being, that there's options out there if you're short cash. Interest rates are still unbelievably low. The cost of money is very inexpensive. We're seeing some great appreciation in our market, and it's just a good time to get in now. Now, you do have closing costs and prepaids in addition to down payment. So if you're looking at a 0% down payment, you still have to come in with your closing cost and prepaids. Closing costs and prepaids combined together typically are going to be about 3%. That's going to cover your standard cost structure on any standard loan, plus your prepaids, which is your reserve account that's being set up for taxes and insurance on your home and per day interest. But you can actually just come in with prepaids and not have to pay closing costs by doing what's called a no closing cost loan. Now, looking at the numbers, I would encourage to go with the standard cost and get a better interest rate. But just so you know, that's an option that's available out there. There is multiple interest rates to choose from on any given day. It just depends on what you want to pay or you don't want to pay. You got to want to get a really awesome interest rate. You can get under a 4% interest rate today. But by doing that, you're going to be paying some type of points associated to do that. They change every day, but market interest rates are around 4%, and that's going to be with your standard closing cost. So maybe you take a 4.75% interest rate and do a no closing cost loan. Here's what I would encourage over doing that is have the seller pay for it. In this market, you can't get the seller to agree to pay cost without most likely increasing the price to cover that. So the seller is going to net the same amount, but there's some creative ways to do that. Purpose of a money chance, just to give you a couple minutes, little teaser out there to encourage you to give me a call. I'd love the chance to talk with any of you regarding your mortgage needs or any financial needs that you have. I align myself with the best of the best in the market, anything that covers your money. And really, that's what the show's about and why I spend my time here with you over the weekend is to get you connected with the best of the best in all areas regarding your money. 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. Coming up next in the Money Hour, are you smart and safe with your financial investments? Well, I've got a guest here that can help answer that question. Somebody great for my listeners to talk with, and that's Mark Pellegrino with Rainier Group right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
The Rainier Group. Our business is finance, but our passion is people. Since 1988, helping business owners, individual investors, and nonprofit organizations achieve their business transition and financial objectives. The Rainier Group's seasoned investment professionals have a broad range of experience, including investment advice and consulting, business ownership transition, management succession, financial modeling and planning, and family office services. If you're a business owner or individual investor, let the professionals at the Rainier Group help you achieve your life's goals. The Rainier Group. Some firms focus on what you're worth. We focus on what you value. Visit www.rainiergroup.com.
This is Mark Pellegrino with Rainier Group. For investment advice, call me at 425-463-3000 or email mpellegrino@rginv.com.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, October 4th show. I'm empowering our community, protecting you with opportunities and solutions when it comes to your money. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but you can always call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150. And I can answer any questions you have, or better yet, I can connect you with any of the guests that I have in studio today. And in studio right now, Mark Pellegrino with Rainier Group. I have an exciting resource in studio today to knowledge, give you the knowledge that you need when it comes to your money. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in Mark's arena and the financial arena. And I'm just excited, Mark, to have you back in studio again. Thank you so much for coming in and spending time with me.
Sure. Great to be back.
More importantly, thanks for coming in and sharing time with my listeners.
You bet.
and a little bit about Mark as president of Rainier Group Investment Advisory. Mark brings over 27 years of investment advisory experience to the firm, including directing equity research efforts, equity funds management, private and institutional client portfolio management, and the development of mutual fund complex and alternative investment platform. So, Mark, let's go ahead and start out, ask a question in regards to, seeing that the Dow and the S&P 500 hit new highs again recently. What's driving the markets right now?
Yeah, they did hit those new highs mid-September. We are in a bit of a pullback now, though, which we really see as a correction rather than a sustained move lower. Aside from that, the same factors that have driven the markets higher during the course of the recovery are still pretty much intact. One of those, as we talked about on in a previous show, is what we've been calling the TINA effect. I thought you'd like that.
Nice.
that stands for there is no alternative. So when you realize that interest rates are still at awfully low levels and likely to remain there for a bit, mm-hmm. The yields on fixed income investments aren't offering up the kinds of competition for potential stock returns as they ordinarily would. We also see still a strong propensity by investors to buy the dips. We've now had, this is the fourth correction during the course of this year in the mm-hmm. markets, and none of them have exceeded 5% from peak to trough. And I think that's some evidence of some complacency in the minds of investors. And then finally, I would add that that the Fed is still in an accommodative stance and supportive of the financial markets, and if you believe what the Fed has said about their intentions from here, we may be in this place for a little bit yet.
Yeah, and it's actually surprising to see that. So there is still so much support because it feels like everything is just getting a lot more secure and stable with what's happening, that they could, they can back off on that. Mm-hmm. Well, Mark, on the other side of the coin, where are your concerns? Because I'm sure in your arena, and even more so than mine, I mean, I deal with it sometimes myself. I have a little hard time falling asleep, wondering what's going to happen in the future. What are your concerns and what's keeping you awake at night?
Well, over the past 3 to 4 years, we've had these big economic events lurking on the horizon, mm-hmm. Whether it was a European debt crisis, fiscal cliff, government shutdown. There was a lot on that front to be concerned about, and the market certainly went through some volatile times in dealing with that. This year, however, now that those things are largely off the middle of the radar screen, it's on the geopolitical front where mm-hmm. the concerns seem to come in, and there's plenty out there to chew on. Ukraine, Russia, ISIS, Iraq, Hong Kong, South China Sea, Gaza Strip, Ebola. Yeah. But a lot out there right now that has the markets a little bit spooked, I think.
So, Mark, speaking of Ukraine, what effect do you see the situation there having?
Well, that one actually is the only one of those geopolitical scenarios that I described that has, in our opinion, any immediate or significant economic impact. The tougher sanctions offered up by the West, especially Europe, mm-hmm. And then the counter sanctions coming back from Russia, we believe really do run the risk of flipping Europe back into at least a mild recession. And that, of course, would have an effect on the rest of the world's economies and probably on the markets as
sure.
well.
So with the unknown and just, not knowing what's going to happen, obviously there's risk in everything that we do. How do you go about understanding your clients' return expectations and their true appetite for their level of risk?
So, I think most firms in our business try to be good listeners, ask all the right questions when they're engaging a new client and trying to understand what the best investment strategy for them would be. And that's not lost on us. We spend a lot of time in those endeavors as well. But we combine that with that particular exercise with empirical evidence. And one of the ways we do that is through a proprietary and very sophisticated financial modeling platform. And this really helps us understand what investment strategy is right for our clients. We've also supplemented that more recently with what we call a risk-return matrix. And this is essentially a four-factor model that helps us understand both our clients' required return but also their desired return, all of that within an appropriate level of risk.
That's awesome, Mark. I think it's so important to, as you said, listen to your clients and find out what their needs are, because each of us have different needs, and so it is really important. I've heard the term decoupling and used in financial media recently. What is that? What's it about?
Well, we really are in a bifurcated economic environment right now. Overseas, both in Europe and the emerging economies of the world, and I put China at the top of that list, we're seeing some real slowing in economic growth. I mentioned the fact that Europe could, in fact, slip back into recession. China and the rest of the emerging economies of the world have clearly slowed in terms of their economic growth. And all of that at the same time that the U.S. economy appears to be accelerating as we move through the second half of the year. We describe this as the U.S. being the best house in the global neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And as such, we've established an even more significant overweight to U.S. securities in our clients' portfolios while maintaining a pretty meaningful underweight to overseas securities.
So, Mark, we've been in a jobless recovery since the big recession. Do you see any improvement in the employment situation, or is real improvement likely to remain elusive?
Well, throughout the course of the year, we have been seeing some modest and fairly consistent improvement in at least the headline figures on employment. But when you look inside those figures, what you find is that the labor force participation rate is still stuck at awfully low levels, meaning a lot of people have left the workforce, many of them permanently. And until you fix that issue, we still are a long way from what the Fed would consider full employment in our economy. And that, I think, has kept the Fed, among other things, in the accommodative stance we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm. So, Mark, there's been a lot of great deal of buzz about Michael Lewis' book, Flash Boys, and the subject of high-frequency trading. What are your thoughts about Mr. Lewis and what he's offered up?
Well, it certainly helped him sell a lot of books and kept him on the speaking circuit for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
But setting that aside, there's no doubt that high-frequency trading has had a meaningful impact on the investing landscape in both good and bad ways. Most importantly, it's made it a lot more difficult for the individual investor to compete in the markets these days. I guess I'm mostly indignant about these high frequency trading practices, in that these traders are neither taking risk nor creating value, and that's not the way the markets are supposed to work.
Yeah. So, Mark, I'm really curious to see what your thought on this. Obviously, me doing mortgages for a living, I've got my thought as well. But, you know, we've seen declining interest rates since the early 80s. And it's weird for me to say I'll be married 20 years, November 4th of this year. And I'll actually be doing mortgages for 20 years in May of next year, 2005. So big 20-year thing going on here. But ever since I've been doing mortgages, the interest rates have just been outrageous. Now, obviously, the last few years, much lower. Mm-hmm. What do you think the markets are going to do with rates?
Well, first of all, we don't see a sustained increase in interest rates as being immediately upon us. But if you believe what the Fed has said about their intentions, if you believe what the bond markets appear to be telling us about the timing of a likely increase in rates, consensus would probably have us out into the middle of next year before we begin to see that. Now, it's likely that the institutional bond investors out there might get out ahead of that. Time will tell. The triggers on watching for that moment in time would be, an improvement on the employment front, which might create an acceleration in economic growth, and with it would come inflationary pressures. And I think that might induce the Fed to step up the process of raising rates.
Mm-hmm.
We're already beginning to position the fixed income portion of our clients' portfolios for that eventuality.
Yeah, it makes total sense, Mark. Are there any special themes playing out in the economy right now you want to share with my listeners?
Yeah, one comes immediately to mind, and that's the U.S. energy renaissance that is quickly taking shape here in the U.S., where the U.S. is now becoming energy independent for the first time in forever. We've chosen to play that through targeted positions in energy services, which would be the drilling companies, the energy transport companies, et cetera, that supply that provide services to the big integrated oil companies, and also through the natural gas pipeline sector. And that's just an example of some of the targeted, more opportunistic investments we like to make in our clients' portfolios.
I have you in studio because you are one of the best. I appreciate so much your time that you take to share your wealth of information with my listeners. And again, if you want to talk to Mark directly, please pick up the phone, call the show at 1-855-411-50. Again, that's 1-855-411-50. I always wish I had more time with my guests, but I like to split it up and have a few different topics in here, but we only have an hour and there's so much information and so many questions I'm sure all of you have when it comes to your finances and how to invest. So again, I highly encourage for you to give Mark a call. Mark, thank you so much for coming into studio. It's always great to see you.
Great to be here. Thanks.
And coming up next on the Money Hour, protecting homeownership and a great resource for our local realtors, Russ Hokanson, CEO of Seattle King County Association of Realtors. He is right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, October 4th show. My goal is to keep you up to date on the latest news and trends in our local economy. Keep me tuned in, and I promise I will keep you informed. And if you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, to talk with myself or any of the guests that I have in studio today, please pick up the phone, give my show a call at 1-855-411-50. Again, that's 1-855-411-50 or online at themoneyhour.com. And if you've missed any of the beginning of the show or any of this hour, you can always go online to themoneyhour.com and listen back to previous segments that I have. And a couple of the guests I have in studio, just type their name in the search engine. You'll get all of the podcasts that I've had with them. And right now in studio, I have Russ Hokanson, CEO of Seattle King County Association of Realtors. And some of you out listening to to my show today may not know what the Seattle King County or SCAR Association of Realtors does. And I just thought it would be really great to bring Russ in as CEO. A lot of information to share. Russ, thank you so much. First time guest in my show. I know you've been in studio before, but finally get the privilege to have you on my show. Thank you so much, Russ.
Thanks, Tina. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Russ has over 20 years of association management and an additional 10 years in governmental and a political relations and leadership development. So lots of, again, wealth of information that Russ has to share. And I just want to start out, Russ, with, I know with the responsibility that you have in your position, you've got to be a really, really busy guy. Why did you want to come to the show? What did you want to share with my listeners here today?
Well, again, it's a pleasure to be here, Tina. And the reason I wanted to be on your show is because I think your show and shows like it are so important in educating consumers and encouraging consumers to get into the marketplace. I attended a conference last week sponsored by the Washington Association of Mortgage Professionals, which was a gathering of leaders in both the mortgage industry, so your counterparts, and real estate professionals, to talk about the market, to talk about what's going on, and to share ideas on how we can improve things for consumers, get people into the home buying process, and sharing information with them. And the takeaway from that conference, sort of unilaterally for everyone who was there, was We need to do a better job as professionals in educating the consumer about programs that are available, how they can get involved. There's new regulations coming out all the time. But consumers shouldn't be scared away from participating in the market and getting educated about the market. And what really drove that point home for me this week is that I read a study from the National Bureau of Economic Research, and they found that 20% of American households that had a fixed rate mortgage, and that's about 10 million households by my calculation, could have refinanced to a much more attractive interest rate. And they calculated that overall savings for the consumer at about $26,000 over the life of the loan. But they found a lot of these consumers didn't pursue that refinance because they were either mistrustful of the process and their lender, or they didn't have the knowledge to understand that they did qualify for a refinance. So I think this idea about educating consumers about what's possible is extremely important. And I was pleased in the introduction to your show that you talked to consumers about all the programs that are available out there. There's a wealth of programs that they can take advantage of. So I'm excited to talk about that on your show today.
I so much agree with you. And I'd be interested to see what the percentage of renters that aren't homeowners. And I, you know, from doing mortgages, talking to people day in and day out as my career, majority of that percentage, I would think, is probably because they don't know. Because I get clients that come in all the time and they come in thinking, you know what, I don't think I can do this, but my realtor said, I've got to talk with you. I've got to give it a try. Or a past client that I've, you know, that they're hearing from me and they're thinking, well, gosh, I just got to see if it might work. People don't realize that there are great programs out there, low down payments. If you've got some challenging credit, we can work through that. So that was, you know, interesting. So, Russ, how does the Puget Sound real estate market compare with other markets around the country?
Well, I think if you talk to any of the analysts or economists that pay attention to this, the Puget Sound market is probably in the top 10 markets around the country in terms of price appreciation and growth. We've seen prices in most areas of the Puget Sound recover to their pre-2007 price levels. Not all areas, but most of them have. So we're seeing, I think, a fairly good recovery in our market. Job growth is driving that demand and that recovery. This has created an inventory issue for us. So not too long ago, we had lots of inventory. I did a study of the inventory numbers, that is the homes available for sale in our region. And the average in 2013 was 1.5 months supply, which means that sales of homes are about the inventory is about 1.5 times the total sales per month. So that really isn't very much.
The and what average, would be the average?
Yeah, the average around the country, according to the National Association of Realtors, anywhere from 5 to 7 months of inventory.
Wow.
So we're very low. We are a coastal market, which makes us a little lower than the average anyway, because we're a desirable area. But 1.5 months is way too low. It's putting a lot of pressure on prices. And unfortunately, it's keeping some people out of the market who would like to get in the market. So we need to take the opportunity to now to work on programs that will increase our inventory by making sure that we're building to capacity within cities that have availability to take that growth, and at the same time work to keep housing affordable. And I'll say this to all my Seahawk fans, you know, there's lots of reasons not to like.
And we're all here. Yeah. We're all Seahawk fans.
Lots of reasons not to like San Francisco, even though it's a beautiful city. But one of the reasons we don't want to go the way of San Francisco is for the first time in 2014, the median priced home in San Francisco hit $1 million. That means half of all their inventory is priced $1 million or more. So I don't want to see Seattle and the Puget Sound market to go the way of San Francisco. And if we start working on that issue now, I think we have a chance to address that and keep prices affordable for consumers.
Makes total sense, Russ. So what advice do you have for younger homeowners who are finding this market difficult?
That's a great question. The first advice I had for them is to consult a realtor. Do it now, even if you're not ready to buy today. They'll help educate you. They may refer you to a mortgage professional who will also educate you about the loan process. But get prepared early. Get prepared now, because you never know when the opportunity is there to get into the market. Now, how do you find a good realtor? Well, you can call me. or you can go to our website, nwrealtor.com. We don't have a financial stake in the professional that you select. We want you to find the best representation possible so that you can find the home of your dreams. So I always recommend to potential buyers that they consult at least three brokerage firms, and we'll happy to give you the names of reputable firms that are members of our association so you can compare and find the right fit, because it is a personal relationship business. I also encourage buyers to contact friends and relatives to see if they've had a good experience with a real estate professional. You know, the dilemma for our younger buyers is that only 36% of those households age 35 and under are homeowners, and that's sort of a generational low. And there are reasons for that, that, you know, there's a change in lifestyle and we've come through sort of a depressed market. But those people all have the potential to be homeowners. They want to be homeowners, according to the studies that we've seen. So it's important for us to educate them, give them the financial knowledge to be able to participate in the market.
Yeah. And I really like the idea of, you know, calling SCAR and finding out who's a member of the association, because your realtors that are a member of SCAR definitely are keeping up to date on what's happening, and they're putting in the time and resources to make sure that they're continued with that education process. So it's so important. So what is the Realtor Association for my listeners that are going, what are they?
That's a great question. So the Realtor Association is America's largest professional trade association. It's the National Association of Realtors is an organization of 1.1 million real estate agents and brokers around the country who are not only licensed to sell real estate, but have taken the initiative to join their professional trade association, the National Association of Realtors. Now, the Seattle King County Association of Realtors, my organization, is sort of like a local chapter of the National Association of Realtors. We've been around in this market for over 106 years. And in fact, our local chapter was one of the founding members of the National Association of Realtors in 1908.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
So again, the key distinction is there are lots of real estate licensees out there, but realtors are licensed brokers who have also chosen to join their professional trade association, the National Association of Realtors.
Got it. So can you explain to my listeners what the association does for its members?
Yeah, we do three basic things. Our members want to be the best that they can be in the business of serving consumers and buying and selling homes. So the first thing we do is we provide a lot of information for our members about what's going on in the industry, trends that they should be aware of, legal updates that they should have in hand, anything related to the real estate transaction. We try and provide that information for them, and we do that at the national, state, and local level. So lots of information for our members so they're well-informed and they can share that with their clients. The second thing we do is we provide cutting-edge professional development for our brokers so that they can be the best professionals that they want to be. So lots of education for them, and that's part of their licensing requirement with the state. And then the third thing we do is that we represent the industry on a wide array of public policy issues that affect home buyers and affect home sellers. And those issues also affect all parts of the real estate transaction. So it's important that the association do this, because we represent hundreds, if not thousands, of competitors who are all real estate brokers. That gives consumers a lot of choice, but it's important for the industry to speak with one voice, to find consensus on issues, and to act in the best interest of consumers. And so the association does that on behalf of the real estate industry as a whole.
Makes sense. So, Russ, we've got just a second here before I got to take us to break, but I really want my listeners to know at least one key issue that's happening that the association is dealing with this year.
Yeah, probably the most important issue this year is an issue in Congress where we are trying to get a resolution to the dilemma of mortgage debt cancellation relief. For those consumers who are involved in a short sale, they often have debt on their mortgage forgiven by the bank. But the IRS views that debt forgiven as a taxable event, even though the consumer is not getting any cash out of the transaction. The IRS wants to tax that phantom income. And it takes a special amendment to the current law to allow those consumers to be exempt from paying tax on that. It needs to be renewed this year. It expired in 2014, and we're hopeful that Congress, after the elections, will meet to put that provision back in place retroactively that consumers won't have to pay that penalty in 2014 if they were involved in a short sale.
Yeah, and let's hope that, because I know that there's a lot of people that did go into foreclosure and short sale and they still have no idea that they're going to get a 1099 from their bank to pay that income. Russ, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. I know that there is so much more information that I wanted to go over with you as well, but the association, everything that you're doing for the real estate community as well for current homeowners and homeowners that are coming into the market. Again, I just appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Tina.
And coming up next in the Money Hour, Judy Claiborne, we're going to talk about what's happening with our transportation and a lot of great information that Judy shares and a real popular guest that I have every time that she's in studio. And I'm just very fortunate to have her here spending her time as well right here at 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
Hi, I'm State Representative Judy Cliburn. I represent the 41st Legislative District, which includes Mercer Island, Newcastle, and parts of Bellevue, Issaquah, and Sammamish. I am also the chair of the House Transportation Committee, which means that I have a lead role in deciding how our highway dollars are spent. We are facing many challenges as a state, from fixing up roads and bridges to fully funding our schools, and I want to hear from you about how we can tackle these tough issues. If you have a question or concern about your state government, please get in touch. You can reach my office by calling 360-786-7926 or emailing me at judy.cliburn@leg.wa.gov. I hope to hear from you soon.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, October 4th show. I'm committed to providing you knowledge needed to be successful in every area regarding your finances. Knowledge is power, and that's what you'll receive from listening to my show. And if you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, you can call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150, or go online to themoneyhour.com to discuss anything regarding your money. And I bet you any topic that you have regarding money at all, put into the search engine on my show site, and I'm pretty sure you'll probably get a guest, an expert that can answer that question for you. So I encourage for you to use that. And in studio right now, Judy Claiborne, state representative, and she's here to talk about transportation. Judy, it's been, you come in, I'd say probably every few months or so, come into my show, and you've been with me way back when I started my first show. I won't say on what station that was, but many years ago. But Judy, again, thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be invited.
You're absolutely welcome. And a little bit about Judy. Judy, state representative, has been a resident of Mercer Island for 45 years. She was mayor of Mercer Island for 4 years, city councilwoman from 1990 to 2001, and executive director of Mercer Island Chamber of Commerce. Her current House committee assignments are transportation chair and health care and wellness. Her legislation priorities are creating a sound transit system that protects trade-dependent businesses throughout the state and keeps Washington's economy global competitive, continuing to increase job opportunities for working families and ensure adequate health care and coverage is accessible to all Washingtonians. And if that doesn't have to do with money, Judy, I don't know what does.
It's a big mouthful. I know that.
it's a lot that you're responsible for and a lot that you're doing. And all of it is so important to everyone that's listening, as well as to myself. So it's always a privilege to hear what you have to say. So let's start out with what are the reasons why that you have, that there's so many projects going on all the time. As I said, you're busy. I mean, there's a lot of busy stuff that's going on. Why is that?
It's so funny because, people ask me all the time, why are you always asking for more money when we have all these projects going on? So just for a little history, in 2003 and in 2005, we passed two gas taxes at that point. Mm-hmm. And one of them, one of the big things that we funded was BRRRRTHA, or the viaduct replacement. So that's been paid for out of what we call the nickel, the 5 cent. And there were a number of big projects, which we call mega projects, which means that they are over $1 billion. Many of them are up to $4 billion. One of them is in Spokane, but mm-hmm. most of them are right here in the Puget Sound region. And we have been building these for over the years, but we also, with that money, built 421 what we'd call smaller but large projects and then tiny projects. And we also gave money to the cities and counties. So the construction for the last 10 years has been enormous.
Yes.
And people think, well, why don't we have our congestion taken care of?
Yeah.
And it is an ongoing
project. I was going to say, it's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress, and sometimes the construction is part of the problem.
Yes. So, Judy, are the projects going on now, when are they going to be finished?
Well, the ones that are funded, this is one of the things that it's hard for people to understand, that the nickel and the 9.5 gas tax, which funded the 421 projects, we're going to be done in about a year.
Okay.
With all those projects that were funded. And then that gas tax will continue to come in. But what it does, those projects were built with bonds.
Yes.
So we're paying off the bonds with the gas tax for the next 25 years in most cases.
Okay.
So what is the underlying 8 cents that's left over is what we are using to run the rest of the transportation, whatever else we have to do for transportation, which is the state patrol and the mm-hmm. maintenance, preservation of our projects that have already been built, the ferry system,
mm-hmm.
Some of the rail. That all has to come out of that 8 cents.
Out of that gas tax. It makes so total sense. So what do we have left to finish now, Judy?
Well, we've got a number of projects, and most of us know in this area, we know there are still a few in eastern Washington, but most of those have been completed, and mm-hmm. they don't impact us in this area, so I won't even go there. But certainly the 520 bridge was funded not by the gas tax, but by tolls.
Yes.
But the tolls only pay for half.
Okay.
So one of the things we have to do is figure out how to pay for the other half of the bridge. Now, I will assure you that we will hook it up.
Of course you will.
And we won't leave it stranded, but the east side will look very good. People will feel the difference in that project. We will have the rest of the widening on 405
okay.
needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of big projects, one of the new projects that is a freight project is 167-509, which goes from the Kent Valley to each of the ports. So to keep our state competitive, we need to invest in these larger projects.
Yeah. So, Judy, how do these larger projects, how are the projects impacting our neighborhoods?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I thought this was a really good topic for you,
uh-huh.
because I actually get asked by, I have both relatives in the realtor business, but I also have people who are looking to buy,
mm-hmm.
and they're concerned not just about congestion, because
sure.
they're looking at, I'm going to have to drive to work on 405, and it's the most congested road in the state, but they're also wanting to know, will these projects be built in a way that will impact a piece of property that I am looking
yes,
at?
Yes, of course.
So I think there are some large projects that people need to be tracking if they're buying and selling. And I thought I would just talk about a couple.
Okay.
One of them is certainly the 520 completion, which will be in the Seattle side.
Okay.
And one of the reasons why I can't really tell you exactly what's going to happen, it is in the process. of being designed at this point.
Got it.
So if you're interested in buying something or selling something in that particular area, you need to be online.
Okay.
You might even want to go to one of the public meetings. You need to watch what decisions are being made, because there is a lot of public process, but at some point, when they make the decision, roads may be different.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, there will be some things that will be closed. There will be some wonderful amenities. It's not all negative. The trails and the parks and the bike pedestrian access and some of these things that we're going to have with these big projects would actually be a selling point.
Yeah, well, I would just say, Judy, I mean, life is balanced. You can't get the positive without the negative. So there's going to be some stress that we've got to go through in the transportation in order to get to ultimately where we want. And that's making a better place and, you know, for commuters and as well as better for our real estate opportunities. So you talked about Bertha being paid for, and that's exciting. When's it going to be done?
So Bertha is another one you need to follow.
Okay.
And I'll just give you a couple things. Bertha hit a snag. I won't say mm-hmm. it is. It actually hit water. I think that's really what caused the problem. But Bertha is also being done by a private tunnel builder. They're international. And they purchased a drilling machine from Mitsubishi. And so this tunnel boring machine is actually on warranty. And so DOT is in an oversight position.
Yeah.
It is not working on that project.
Okay.
But it is going to be on it was going to be done in 15. Now it's going to mm-hmm. be done in 16.
Okay.
And what happens after that is actually probably of more interest for people who are buying and selling in that area.
Okay.
Whole new area. The viaduct will come down. There'll be a boulevard built along the waterfront.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And then Seattle comes in, and they are designing a huge waterfront that will be all new.
Uh-huh.
So if you wanted to go, there's a couple places you can go. You can go on to the DOT,
okay.
which is wsdot.gov. And .wa.gov, I'm sorry. Or you can go to www.seattle.org mm-hmm. and you can see what the state is doing on our site, but you can see what Seattle is planning to do with the waterfront on their site.
Got it.
The interesting thing is they have to work together.
Yeah.
They have to be coordinated. So when you go down there and all the roads are changed and you don't know who to blame, mm-hmm. just remember, when it's done, it's going to be gorgeous.
Yeah. When I remember last time I had you in here, I had a Sound Transit with me as well. And I tell you, that was an interesting show because you guys are working together and everybody's coming together to figure this out and make it good for all of us. So what's happening, Judy, on I-90?
So we will be seeing some construction right now. They're taking the restriping of the existing outer lanes.
Okay.
And they will put an extra HOV lane each way.
Nice.
And then they're taking the center lanes, and it'll take them until 23 or 26, I think, before they will get the middle lanes with Sound Transit connecting to the east side.
Okay. Judy, what about Seawall?
Well, you'll notice that I've talked about what the state does, and mm-hmm. then I talked about what Seattle does, and Seattle is doing the seawall.
Okay.
So they are really working hard to get their vision. If you wanted to go see this, there's a museum on, I think it's 211 First Avenue, called Milepost 31.
Milepost 31.
If you have children, it's wonderful. But even as an adult, it shows you the history of the area
mm-hmm.
In Seattle where the tunnel's being built and the waterfront. And then it shows you what is going to be built. And I will tell you that each of the portals are almost complete. So they were going to be done after the drilling. They've been uh-huh. done first.
Okay.
But one of the things that you can do is you can actually walk on the floor of the museum and follow along how it's going to be when it's underground.
How exciting.
And then they have a video of the ideas that are going on.
Wow.
And being looked at for the waterfront. So there's a lot going on. And what I find is when I'm talking to people who are not conscious of government, they don't understand all these different layers.
Sure.
They don't know to look if they're buying in a city or in the county
uh-huh.
unincorporated, or whether they're in Seattle or whether the state is doing something.
Uh-huh.
So if you're looking at a piece of property, it would behoove you to sort of identify that and go online.
Makes
and
total
just
sense.
Check it out. See
yeah.
what's being built, because the city and the counties and Sound Transit are building and planning a lot of things. Also.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that can happen in the future, so you definitely want to see what your property has to what's coming up in the future. Judy, with everything that's going on, how do you keep up with all of it?
Yeah, well, it is a lot. I have a lot of help. I don't do it all by myself. I have wonderful staff.
I believe in a team, too.
And I have to say, I spend a lot of time in my car, and, uh-huh. And I do go on those websites. But it is, it's something I have a passion for, and yeah. I love what happens when we get done, because as hard as it is to wade through the congestion, mm-hmm. when you get done and you have something that's connecting people up and it helps keep our economy going, it mm-hmm. is a lot. When these things do get done, I think it improves our land. It
of
improves
course.
The value of our community.
Yeah.
So it's something I take a lot of pleasure in.
Well, and that's what you do. It's when things get really busy, you're passionate about what you do, and you believe in what you do, and you're making a difference in people's lives, which you are, and in our economy here, it is a beautiful thing. We got to wrap it up, but I have to ask you one last question. What's coming up for the future?
Well, I know everybody watched as we spent 2 years trying to pass a revenue package so we mm-hmm. could finish the bridge and finish a number of things. And I think we'll continue to work on it. I will not make any promises, but okay. it's something that the need doesn't go away, and yep. everybody needs to get on board.
Good things coming for our transportation. Continued growth is always a great thing. Judy, again, thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure, and
you
can bet Victoria will get you a call and get you scheduled for another show coming right up.
Okay, hopefully I can tell you about how we completed everything.
That would be awesome. And this is your mortgage expert and your host of the Money Hour. I got to sign off for the day. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you're having a fantastic weekend, enjoying our beautiful, whatever the weather brings us in Seattle, up and down. But hope you're enjoying your weekend, and look forward to talking with you next weekend right here on 1150 AM KKNW. Thank you.
The preceding program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, NLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit absoluteloans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.